Hey, this is Christian.
And Ryan.
From Group Love, and you're listening to 91.5 FM.
WMFO, Medford. Tufts Freeform Radio.
It's 9 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m. on Sunday, January 22nd, 2017. I got that part right. And you're tuned to WMFO, Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial, touch-free farm radio. We're also on the internet, www.wmfo.org. We multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. You can download the WMFO mobile app, 91.5fm.org. I'm your host, Don Lee Brown. On this Sunday, January, what do I want to say, November? January 22nd, 2017 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, here virtually every Sunday from about 4 until 5 a.m. talking sports. Love to get you involved in sports conversation. To do that, you have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636 if you like numbers only. But either one, it's the same number. You'll be able to get me, and we'll be able to talk some sports here. A lot of things going on in the sporting world. Certainly love to hear your perspective, what's going on out there in your area of, like I said, the sporting world. Okay, 10 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m. Actually, 11 minutes now past the hour of 4 a.m. And I'll be back with some sports scores and other stuff. You stay tuned. Okay, 13 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m. Let's get right into the sports scores. Yesterday in women's college basketball, Baylor 79, West Virginia 73, Texas 77, Texas Tech 57. Upset. Marquette, who was unranked, defeated DePaul, who was ranked number 19, 102-101. That game went into overtime. Another upset. Iowa State, who was also unranked, defeated Kansas State, who was ranked number 22, 75-69. Those are the major scores in women's basketball yesterday, and the top 20 teams ranked at the top 25. Also, tip of the hat to the UConn women. They won their 92nd count them, 92nd straight basketball game, I believe was Thursday. I can't remember who the opposition was, but it was not much of opposition, really. The UConn Husky ladies are rolling right along and in first place, undefeated. So we'll see how long they can keep the streak. I was not certain, since, you know, I don't know who they have bringing up, but they lost three key players from last year's team that won their third straight NCAA title. So I thought they might have a little down year. So far, hasn't happened. Okay, let's go to men's basketball. College, Villanova 78, Providence 68. Villanova's back in first place. Kansas 79, Texas 67. Upset. Arizona, ranked number 14, defeated UCLA, ranked number 3, 96-85. Gonzaga 73, Portland 52. I heard people talking about how improved and how much tougher Gonzaga is this year as opposed to other years where they, you know, they've been in the top 25 but flamed out when it came to the tournament. But if you play in teams like Portland, no one can really tell how really good they are. But anyway, they, I believe, are in fourth place or fifth place, somewhere around there. Kentucky, 85. South Carolina, 69. Baylor, 62. TCU, 53. Upset. Hey, the Marquette women defeated DePaul, and the Marquette men upset Creighton, who was ranked number 7, 102-94. So things are really jumping on the campus of Marquette University tonight, I would imagine. But anyway, we move right along. Kansas State upset West Virginia, who was ranked number 7, 79-75. North Carolina 90, BC 82. BC didn't, they played them at home, but they didn't get a chance to upset them. But hey, they were close. Florida State, no cigars for being close, however. But anyway, they're not good for your health. Anyway, so North Carolina over BC 90-82. Florida State 73, Louisville 68, Oregon 69, Stanford 52, Butler 70, DePaul 69. The Butler did it again. I guess Stephen's magic is still there, even though he's no longer coaching at Butler. Notre Dame 84, Syracuse 66, Virginia 62, Georgia Tech 49, Wisconsin 78, Minnesota 76, Duke 70, Miami 58, upset, Vanderbilt, who's unranked, defeated Florida, ranked number 19, 68-66. Cincinnati, 78, Tulane, 61. Purdue, 77, Penn State, 52. And St. Mary's, 85, Pepperdine, 65. And that's it in men's college basketball. Here again, I think I said last program, I haven't seen a whole lot of college basketball. You know, little bits and pieces here, you know, highlights and things like that. But not really. I haven't seen Villanova. And they've been, like I said, in and out of first place for a while. And who else? I saw a little bit of Kentucky. I saw some games with Louisville. Who else have I seen? Seeing a little North Carolina. Didn't see the BC game. I saw, who else? I can't remember. I haven't seen a whole lot of college basketball. That's what I'm trying to say. So I can't get a grip on who should be the favorites going into the tournament. Like I said, Villanova's back in first place. But that doesn't mean much to me anyway, because, you got to see them to determine who is. I should be watching more primarily because the Celtics having the Brooklyn Nets first pick, I should get some kind of a grip of who the good players are coming out there. But I understand he's a great player at Duke who is not playing because of injury. So therefore, if he had the potential, I don't know if he's going to come out after 1 year. And depend, I don't know whether he's even going to come back and play this year. I haven't heard that. But I heard that he was a number one. He was a choice for preseason choice for being the number one pick. I don't know how big he is. I don't know what position he plays. Anything like that. I saw an article where someone said that some of the best players coming out this year are point guards, and the Celtics don't need any more point guards. But they were saying that these point guards are so good, you can't pass over them. But anyway, we'll see what happens. It's 4:20 here on WMFO. Celtics need a big man. And when we get to the NBA scores and their play last night, we'll go into that. 4:20 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 in your FM dial on the internet, www.wmfo.org. And we multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. Okay, I'll be back. You hold on. Don't go anywhere.
Gentlemen, and welcome back to the final round of our National Spelling Bee. Let's begin.
Christopher, your word is sipic.
Could you use it in a sentence, please?
In the unlikely event that your brokerage firm goes out of business, sipic is there to protect you.
Sipic. See?
I'm sorry, Christopher. Lisa, your word also is sipic.
May I have that in another sentence, please?
SIPC funds are available to satisfy brokerage customer claims up to a maximum of $500,000, including up to $100,000 for cash claims.
SIPC. S-I-P-K.
Don't know about SIPC? The Securities Investor Protection Corporation? That's okay. We can spell it out for you. Learn more at www.sipc.org.
And the message is brought to you by friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on Sports. 424 is the Brown Perspective on Sports. Time Let's go to the National Basketball Association after I bring up my background music. Background music, where are you? Okay, here we go. There we go. Okay, National Basketball Association. I told you Celtic fans are going to be a little upset if you hadn't heard already. Trailblazers defeated the Celtics yesterday in overtime, 127-123. Pistons, 113, and the Wizards, 112. Hornets, 112, and the Nets, 105. That's a good one for us. Nets keep dropping. Hawks, 110, 76ers, 93. Suns, 107, the Knicks, 105. The Heat, 109, the Bucks, 97. The Rockets, 119, and the Grizzlies, 95. The Spurs, 118. The Cavaliers, 115. That game went into overtime. Cavaliers are having their problems. I don't care what anybody says. Nuggets, 123. Clippers, 98. Jazz, 109. The Pacers, 100. And the Bulls, 102. And the Kings, 95. In that Celtics game, Amir Johnson got 3 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. Jay Crowder got 16 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. Horford, 17 points, 9 rebounds. Scared the daylights out of me. Horford, 17 points, 9 rebounds, and 5 assists. Thomas, 41 points, 3 rebounds, and 6 assists. Smart, 17 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, and 2 steals. Jordan Mickey got into the game. 2 points, 3 rebounds, and 1 assist. Jaylen Brown, 2 points, 4 rebounds, and 1 steal. Olynyk, 10 points, 8 rebounds, and 1 assist. And Terry Rozier, 15 points, 3 rebounds, and 3 assists. Terry Rozier hit a 3-pointer to send the game into overtime. But the Celtics could not prevail. 127-123, the Trailblazers over the Celtics. And the little bit of the game that I saw, rebounding is still a major issue. You can't give too many second and third choice second and third chance shots to the opposition in the NBA and still expect to pull the game out, and they didn't. And so therefore, hopefully we'll get that big man that we're looking for and be able to, you know, score some points in the inside and also control some of the rebounding. Also, it didn't help that Avery Bradley is still out, still suffering from that Achilles strain. But Rozier and Smart, you know, came in and they played extremely well. What we need is that kind of point scoring off the bench when Bradley gets back, and that's not always the case either. Kelly Olynyk, 10 points, not bad off the bench, but a couple of games ago, he got 26 points. So will the real Kelly Olynyk show up every night? Or maybe the real Kelly Olynyk is showing up every night, and he's only been able to get, you know, 10 points a game or whatever. I think he's averaging under 10 points a game. Now, he did have some, you know, problems coming back early from that shoulder problem. But, hey, 7 feet, you know, you need to do that on a more regular basis when you're 7 feet tall. You know, it's like, come on, guy, get in there and bang your elbows and get some rebounds and stuff. Kelly Olynyk, I think, has the ability, because of his passing ability, outside shooting, and being able to, at 7 feet, being able to post up on occasion, that he has the ability to, you know, be the closest thing to Larry Bird. No, I know all the Larry Bird fans out there are going to be screaming, but he's had the ability to be the closest thing. I'm going to say he's going to be Larry Bird, but he's the closest thing to Larry Bird since Larry Bird retired. So we're looking for bigger and better things from him in the future, or some draft picks, or somebody else is going to come along and take his place. 4:29 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 FM dial on the internet as well, www.wmfo.org. And we're multicasting on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, January. I didn't say November. January. what day is it? January the 22nd? Whatever. Something like that. Edition of a Brown Perspective on. We don't have a calendar in here. That's what my main problem is. You know, where's our calendar when you need it? Anyway, we are talking sports here. I'd love to get you involved in a sports conversation. To do that, you have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. I'll be back.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs.
I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking.
It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest. A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. That's 1-866-662-8822. Log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
And also by your friends here at Brown Perspective on Sports and Sounds of Praise. 4:35 is the Brown Perspective on Sports time. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. We're talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 until 5 a.m. To get involved in the conversation, you have to give me a call, 1-855-915-WMFO, 1-855-915-9636. National Hockey League. Yesterday, the Jets defeated the Blues 5-3. The Blue Jackets 3, the Hurricanes 2, the Senators 3, and the Maple Leafs 2. That was a shootout. Sabres 3, and the Canadiens 2. That game went into overtime. Islanders 4, and the Kings 2. New Jersey 4, and the Flyers 1. Capitals 4 and the Stars 3. That also was an overtime game. The Coyotes 5 and the Lightning 3. The Wild 5 and the Ducks 3. The Oilers 7 and the Flames 3. The Sharks 3 and the Avalanche 2. That was also an overtime game. Okay, the Bruins did not play yesterday, and mercifully. All the talk around here is about Claude Julien's status as coach of the Bruins, who are floundering. Doesn't look like they're going to make the playoffs again this year. excuse me. To me, I don't think a coaching change is the answer. You need talent, and the team is not as deep or as talented as they have been, you know, during their championship run three years ago. And I don't care who you bring in, unless the coach is going to be able to score some goals, it ain't going to help much. What is kind of disturbing is that the key players from the championship squad and even from last year seem like they've diminished, their skills have diminished somewhat, and they aren't scoring, and they aren't playing the tough Bruins-type hockey, and so therefore, like I said, to me, a coaching change is not the answer. You need some skilled, more skilled players, and getting them to play a more consistent game. Sometimes they've played, you know, pretty good defense and haven't been able to score. And on the other times, they played fairly well offensively, but their defense went down the tubes. And that's a sign of an inconsistent team. And like I said, they have some new players and some younger players, and maybe it's just time for them to develop. And I don't care who you bring in to coach. I don't think that person is going to get any more other than what Julian's doing. But I can understand him being upset with the constant questioning. What is your status here? Has anybody said anything to you? Of course not. And nobody wants to hear that on a regular basis. And so the fact that he has become less than friendly during those sessions, it's understandable. Okay? So there you go. It's 4:39. And I don't have any answers. Going into the season, the thought was that the Bruins needed a more capable defenseman that would help their back line. And they didn't get that person as far as I could tell. And so therefore, that remains a problem. If that was a major problem, that was a problem that went unsolved. And so far, none of the other younger guys or other guys they picked up or had wherever they were, they brought up from the miners, have been able to do the job. And so therefore, we're getting what was anticipated, a team that, maybe playing their best, but their best is not good enough. So we'll see where things go from here. And someone was even speculating that the Bruins might bring somebody out of the front office, Neely or Sweeney or maybe even Mike Milbury to do the coaching. At least on an interim basis to see what's going on. But hey, you don't have to come down on the down to the ice to see what's going on. The team is underperforming, and can they perform any better with the present talent? Only time will tell. And like I said, I don't think a coaching change is the answer. But here we go. For that's what happens here in the Boston area when it comes to our team that's underperforming. Everybody wants to fire the coach. There are people who were on John Farrell's case all year because of his two previous out of contention seasons. So he gets to the playoffs and they go out in the first round, so that they still want to fire him. That's the way it goes. You make the big bucks, they want to see performance. 441 here on WMFO in Medford, 91.5 in the FM dial, on the internet, www.wmfo.org. We're multicasting on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Braun, this Sunday, January the 22nd, 2017 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, here virtually every Sunday talking sports from about 4 until 5 a.m. To get involved in the conversation, you have to give me a call, 1-855-915-WMFO, 1-855-915-9636. Be back.
air flowing through the system, meeting fuel and combusting. Block the flow of air and you've got a problem. If you have emphysema, wheezing, chronic bronchitis, or smoker's cough, then you know what it's like when air can't get through. What you may not know is that it could be COPD, the number 4 leading cause of death. Ask your doctor about COPD and a simple breathing test. More information is available at www.learnaboutcopd.org. A message from the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Brought to you by your friends here at WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on Sports.
It's 4:46 here on WMFO in Medford, and we're into the final portion of our program today. But before we get into the National Football League, let's go to the Australian Open. In the Australian Open, Zonga was leading Evans. The first match was 6-7 Evans, 6-2 Zonga, and he was 5-4 into the third set of that match. Nadal won his match. Murray lost to Zverev, you pronounce it. And Venus Williams won in her match. Okay, everything else was undecided at the time that I got my information, because they're playing way down under in a different time zone. So there. Okay, National Football League here. Big games coming up. As I said last week, I believe I won the championship between my son Scott, my grandson Kyle, and our good friends Bill and Kenny. And I haven't seen any stats, but the last time I saw stats at the end of the 17th week, I was comfortably ahead. And I did pretty good in the first two rounds of the playoffs, going 6-2. And so I think that it's pretty well wrapped up. I know Bill said he conceded. Even without seeing the stats, he said, I think in his first round of the playoffs, he went 0-4. So, yeah, he's out of it, definitely. He was in second place for a couple of weeks there, but I guess the atmosphere was too heady for him. He couldn't handle it, and he fell by the wayside. And I think, without looking at having all the stats in front of me, I think there were only two or maybe three weeks where I was not in first place. So I just had a good year, that's all. What can I say? Okay, this week's games. I have the Atlanta Falcons over the Green Bay Packers, and I have the Patriots over the Pittsburgh Steelers. And if I may go that far, I have the Patriots over the Falcons in the playoffs. So there. The Falcons have a tremendous offense. Probably one of the best offenses in the league this year. Problem is that the offense has carried the defense most of the year. And that's got them to where they are. And as someone said, they played probably their best defensive game last week against the Seattle Seahawks, who are not the power that they were just, 3 years ago when they lost to the Patriots. And so, therefore, and with injuries on the defensive side of the ball as well, they just did not have enough firepower to keep up with Atlanta. And if they couldn't keep Atlanta off the board, then, it was an obvious loss. I lost on that one. I thought Seattle's defense was going to be able to hold down. And since they also had more experience, playoff experience, than Atlanta, I thought that they were going to win. They did not. That was one of my two losses in the first two rounds of the playoffs. So, anyway, The Packers are banged up, and so therefore, I don't think that as good as Rodgers has played. Matter of fact, the game against the Rodgers, the game against the Cowboys was, you know, a real thriller, and Rodgers pulled all the rabbits out of the hat that he possibly could pull. That catch that set up the winning field goal in overtime was absolutely amazing. When I saw it live, I thought he was out of bounds. But when they showed the replay, you know, he had dragged his feet and he was in bounds. Cook, I believe his name was. And Rodgers was running in the opposite direction, threw the ball across the field and down far enough for in field goal range. So the Packers pulled one out against the Cowboys. And there's been so much talk around here about, when I say around here, around here, about the Patriots game against the Texans, where even though they went beyond the spread, winning by 18 points, yet people were saying, oh, they won ugly. Okay, they didn't play their best game. Texans had one of the better defenses in the league. And if they get J.J. Watt back next year, they're going to be awesome defensively. Okay, so, hey, they're dealing with Brock Osweiler, first-year starter, and doesn't have too many weapons to throw to. And their offensive line's a little suspect, so therefore I don't put it all on him. But the Patriots did enough, and it's because maybe they scored one touchdown via special teams. You can't expect that to happen every week, but yet that's part of the game. And so if you don't, if you can't stop, Deion Lewis, 98-yard run back, hey, we'll take it any way we can. Brady threw two picks. It's not uncharacteristic of him doing that, or any quarterback doing that, you know, if you got guys breathing down your throat. But anyway, we won, and yet people were talking about winning ugly. But I like the comment that Julian Edelman made when asked about the game. He said, I would rather win ugly than lose prettily. Nothing pretty, nothing great about a pretty loss, you know. And maybe the Cowboys could say they had a pretty loss. They played an excellent game, took a superhuman effort on both parts by Rodgers and Cook to get them down into field goal territory. They kick the field goal. The Packers go home happy. Cowboys go home with a pretty loss. I would rather have a ugly win anytime than a pretty loss. But, hey, people like to nitpick here in the media, and this is the greatest area for nitpicking media probably in the entire world. Well, maybe New York is also, too. But, hey, me, Philadelphia. But anyway, I don't. I just think that, the Patriots were exposed in a couple of areas. And I think since that those areas were not major problems all year long, that they'll correct them. And I don't believe that the Packers have the same skill type defensive players to take advantage of the Patriots as Texans did. And the Texans did that, but they still lost. Here again, now as we're playing the Steelers, they've got Roethlisberger, who has playoff experience and two rings. They have Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, and I don't care about the videotaping of I don't think that has any effect at all. Probably a great effect is how many of their players have fully recovered from the flu that supposedly was going through their locker room. So I'm not going to predict a score or anything like that. If we win by 1 point, that's good enough for me. But I think the Patriots should. I think they were 5-point favorites going into yesterday. So we'll see what it is at game time. But anyway, it doesn't really matter. Like I said, a win is a win is a win is a win. That's what I'm looking for, the Patriots to pull one out. And like I said, I didn't say that, but as I was thinking to say, that a lot of the walking wounded, like Malcolm Mitchell and Danny Amendola, are back. Hogan, who had said he hurt his calf, but could have played if necessary, but sat out the rest of the game. They're all participating in practice, and so therefore, I look for a Patriots win. What the score will be, I don't know, but the home field advantage is certainly going to be to an advantage to us. 4:56 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 in the FM dial on the internet, www.wmfo.org. Multicasting on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. This Sunday, January 22nd, 2017 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports here, virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. talking sports. To get involved in the conversation, you would have had to give me a call. But right now, we're transitioning from A Brown Perspective on Sports to Sounds of Praise. Sounds of Praise, today we are featuring more top hits of the year 2016. Fantastic program lined up for you today. Don't go anywhere if you love gospel music. Even if you don't love gospel music, don't go anywhere. It's going to be a blessing to you. Okay, till next time, this is your host, Donnie Brown, saying God bless. Have a fantastic day and week in the Lord. Hope to see you bright and early next Sunday morning at 4 a.m. when we do it all over again here on another edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. Jessica, don't you dare call me now. Getting ready for Sounds of Praise.